Great to be back with you tonight. I invite you to open up to the book of Exodus, chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. We have been considering some of the points in the book of Exodus and making application to for us, as this book was written for our learning, for our admonition, as the New Testament teaches us, this is a book that teaches us about our redemption in Christ. It is an interesting picture book of our redemption as it paints it and illustrates it in simple terms and using physical things and animals and structures and these kinds of things to teach us about our redemption in Christ and our release from bondage out of sin. Last time we saw the Israelites come out of Egypt, all right? They cross that Red Sea, and chapter 15 begins with a song of triumph and singing and victory to the Lord and thanks. And it's wonderful, you know. It's one of the times in which things just seem to be going right, and the response is right. The response of thanksgiving to God and giving glory to God is, you know, hitting the nail right on the head. That is exactly what should be done at this time. Salvation has just been brought down by God, and they sing to Him. So it's very important. Unfortunately, what happens after that is nowhere near as good as the beginning of their redemption here, as the book has been closed, the chapter has been closed anyway, on their life in hardship and oppression and in Egypt and slavery. Now they are a new people. They are now God's people. God has purchased them from the Egyptians who owned them. God has purchased them, and they are now His people, and they're going to have a lot to learn. They don't know a whole lot about God. In fact, with them is a mixed multitude of Gentile peoples who, you know basically nothing about God except what they have seen in the last few days with the plagues. So there's a lot of people here in this wilderness, and this wilderness will be an educational ground of a lot to learn. And the first thing that they must learn to do is have faith. And that's interesting is what of how vital that application is for us. And that's the very first thing. We see three situations that occur early on in their coming into the wilderness where they need to learn. They must learn to have faith in God for deliverance, for their salvation, for their life. Faith in God for their life. So here in chapter 15 and verse 22... it says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them, and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Then they came to Elim, where there was 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, so they camped there by the waters. All right, now, what we find here in this initial situation is 3 days they go in the wilderness without water. So everything, of course, this is all a very new experience to them. 3 days without water. That's quite a bit. I mean, that is a struggle. I think we can all understand that 3 days walking in the wilderness, and this isn't a beautiful forest, you know, with all kinds of shade everywhere. I don't know. You can see the picture up there pretty well. You know, here you see the mountains of Sinai in this picture. This kind of helps give you an idea of what it was like to be in these areas. And there were small portions, you know, of a little bit of trees, a little bit of water here and there. But here they were traveling for 3 days, and they hadn't found anything like that. So I think we can understand very well the struggles here. And so now they, you know, what is their, 3 days go by, and it seems as if they say nothing until the third day. That's when they open their mouths, and instead of asking God, they complain. They complain against Moses. And they say, "What shall we drink?" And so here they are, they're grumbling and they're negative, but they haven't learned yet here to ask God. They haven't learned to seek Him. Here they have spent 3 days. They probably didn't have to spend 3 days. They probably didn't have to spend an entire day without water. God can provide them with water from anywhere. We'll see in a little while that He's able to provide them water out of a rock. So, but they go 3 days because not a word is said. There's no leaning upon God, no reliance upon God. And we see here that they are being tested in how they're going to respond, tested in their patience, tested in what kind of faith they might have so far in the God that delivered them. And we see that they don't have any trust in Him. They complain. They grumble. They're upset that they have been drug out here. And now they're dying of thirst. And so God's response is not out of anger. Remember, this is such an early nursery development here of the Israelites. And God is not angry with them, but He provides them with water. He provides them with sweet water and tells them, if you diligently obey My voice, you won't be harmed. You won't have to go through any of the plagues, any of the diseases that happened there in Egypt. I will heal you. I'm here for you, and I can heal you, and I can help you, and I've already delivered you. You've seen that. And so hear Him providing water for them again, even though they didn't really ask for it, they just complained about it, is an important lesson for them that hopefully they will take to heart. Now, what is interesting about how God tests our hearts and how He tries our life is partly with time, as we're seeing here, 3 days. All right, some time goes by, testing our patience, testing our endurance. And then the next thing that happens is now that they complained about no water, here's water. Sounds great. No, can't drink it. Can't drink the water. All right, it's poison. Right, it's disease. It'll make you sick. It's contaminated water. And so, how interesting is this? And maybe you might see this sometime in your life, or if you haven't, that we can keep this in our heart. As we do go through life and do go through trials, time is going to be one of the hardest things for us with a lot of situations that we go through. allowing the time to pass, and it always seems longer than we want it to be, right? And then here is so interesting how here is water now. Finally, here is water, and they still can't drink it. God is showing them once again, it's not just because they use their feet to get to the water. It's not because they use their feet to finally happen to run up against water in the wilderness. God gives them water. God made the water sweet. He made the water good to drink. This is not of their own strength, their own fortitude, but the use of their own legs that brought them to this sustenance and this life. It is God and God alone. This is really a second lesson of this, as we talked about last time around. This is almost identical to when they ran up against the Red Sea before they were delivered. Same idea. God's bringing them out of Egypt. You know, this seems great. Everything's working well. And, you know, we are escaping. Here we go. But then God leads them directly up against the Red Sea. The Egyptians come to the other side. They are fenced in, nowhere to go. And so here they were escaping. Everything was fine. Everything was great. And now God places them in a position once again, a tight spot where He shows them, only I can deliver you. This is not your feet running away from Egypt. This is me taking you. This is me purchasing you. And so here again, they finally get to water. No, this is not your feet that have brought you life, that have brought you to the waters. And so they're reminded, really, the same lesson they learned when they were butted up against the Red Sea, is that God is the one to trust for this life, for this salvation. For salvation through the Red Sea, and now for salvation in living water. Now, in chapter 16, in verse 1, we run into another situation. It says, and they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us up out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Now let's pause here. So we're given the date here, the second month, 15th day of the month. This means that they have been on their wilderness journey for exactly 1 month now. 1 month has transpired since their exodus from Egypt. And the text seems to suggest, possibly, I mean, maybe they've had a little snack here and there, maybe, I don't know. The text doesn't say, but it seems to suggest that they, while they've had water from time to time, they have not had food. And so they have spent 30 days without food, and they are understandably hungry, and this is their breaking point. And so now here they are again complaining to Moses. And, you know, this, of course, you know, it's possible for a human being to go without food for 30 days. It's possible to go 40 days, you know, as we see Elijah and Moses and quite a few other, of course, Jesus in the New Testament. And, you know, from a medical standpoint, you know, the average human body is able to go about 70 days, sometimes more or less or so, without food, as long as we have a little bit of water. So they obviously this is a lot, of course, 30 days, an entire month, this is a lot to go without food. And you see that now they are complaining once again, and they're talking about their wonderful days in Egypt, right? You know, how wonderful it was. I mean, we were just sitting there. We were like kings. See how they described it? We were sitting there. We had our pots of meat. We have bread to the full. Well, it's like they were princes. No, what about when the Egyptians were out there killing every male child, right, in order to keep your population down, when they were suppressing you and oppressing you? What about when they made things worse and worse for you as you continue to survive and thrive? What about all these things? No, we live like kings. That just doesn't make sense. They have forgotten what it was like. And, oh, why couldn't we have been back there in Egypt? But now we've come here only to die, is their idea. Well, in verse 4, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily.' Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, 'At evening, when you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord. But what are we that you complain against us?' Also Moses said, 'This shall be seen when the Lord gives you the meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord hears your complaints which you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord.'" So Moses becomes very strong here about a month in, and he lets them know, as they have brought their complaints of water to Moses, they've brought their complaints of food to Moses. He is very stern, very straightforward by saying, and he says it twice to them, "Why are you complaining to me? You are complaining against God. You are complaining against the Lord. No one has sought the Lord. No one has beseeched him, prayed to him, requests of him. All we have here is complaining." And so we see that they go without food. And once again, I would suggest they have gone much longer than they needed to go without food. But this is the test. When are they going to look to God? And they're failing the test time after time as they come to Moses, not to God, they come to Moses, and they don't come with an appeal, they come with a complaint. Their lives are so much more miserable than it has to be, because they have no faith in God. Could he not have given them food a lot sooner than a month later? You know, they don't ask. No one asks. No one looks to God. No one's trusting in him. So he doesn't give. And of course, this has so much application to it, but this is something we need to consider when it comes to our prayers. What do we go without? You know, or what struggles do we face that we may not have had to have faced? But God doesn't give what we need. He doesn't give us what we want, because we don't look to him. We don't pray to him. We don't talk to him. He has the ability to give, but we don't ask for it. He doesn't give. So Israel, they're failing on every level here as God has gone day after day waiting to give, waiting to bless, waiting to help, deliver, and save. They don't look to him. They don't ask him. Then finally they just crack. And they complain. They complain to Moses. Moses is trying to reroute their minds here and say, quit looking at me. Quit complaining about me. This has nothing to do with me. You're complaining really against the Lord your God. And so this is a strong situation here. But notice once again, we have God. Even though they complained, he doesn't strike them. He is trying to teach them. He's trying to help them. He gives. They complain to him. And he gives them. All right? Again, this is very early on. They are without law. This is really about the first law that they receive is the Sabbath here. And even still, there's no real teaching about what this is. It's just the idea of building an idea initially about a Sabbath day. And so these are a people without law. Really, their only law is just to follow God, just to trust him. And they can't do it. They cannot manage it. He's going to give them, as he says, meat in the evening, quail, that is, as you can see later on in the chapter, gives them quail in the evening. In the morning, he gives them bread. But by bread, you see here that he causes them to work with their hands, right? They have to catch the birds in the evening, you know, and prepare them for to become food. In the morning, they don't just wake up and you know, there's loaves of bread that have just fallen from the sky and just grab up a loaf and start eating. No, they have the bare bones. They have the ingredients, right? That's what he gave them. The manna were like teeny seeds, you know. This is something that they would have had to have worked to gather up each morning. They put it in the bowl. They had to grind it up, you know, form it in until add some water or what have you, and make it into a bread of sorts, a wafer. To be had, something to be baked over the fire, what have you. So there's a lot going on here. He is these people are working, right? If man shall not work, neither shall he eat. That's the principle of God has always had. So he puts them to work. He gives them what they need, but they must work as well. There in the wilderness. But we see also that verse 4, the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them, whether they walk in my law or not. So, again, all we have seen so far in the wilderness is testing. An education going on for the Israelites. An education that they're unfortunately failing so far. And later on, chapter 16, we see that they fail this test as well. God says, just get what you need. Get what you need for the day. They couldn't handle that. Right? The manna came down, they gathered, and they gathered, and they gathered. course, next day it's destroyed. It's inedible. It's corrupted. God told them, just take a certain quota every day. Why? Because, again, they need to learn to trust Him. They need to learn that He's going to be there for them every day. Not this idea of, you know, I'm going to save myself. I'm going to save some for tomorrow. Make sure I have enough for tomorrow. You know, and again, I'm sure things are going through your mind just as well. Probably the same things going through my mind. These biblical principles are repeated all over the place. Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, He talked about all these kinds of things. And about not worrying about tomorrow. Not being anxious about the affairs of tomorrow. Not being worried about what you'll eat, what you'll wear, these kinds of things. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Have faith, place your faith in God. This is exactly what God is testing and teaching them in the wilderness. To look to Him every day, not to try to rely on themselves to save themselves. So, but again, as you could read yourself throughout chapter 16, that they fail that test. They just don't trust God, no matter what He does for them, no matter what miraculous things they see from Him, tremendous things, they just don't have faith. In chapter 17, in verse 1, says, then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped in Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people contended with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. So Moses said to them, why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, why is it that you've brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, what shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me. The Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river and go. Behold, I will stand before you, there on the rock in Horeb. And you shall strike the rock, and the water will come out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Verse 7, it says, so he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the contention of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Here again, we've got to be careful not to fall into this same situation as the Israelites. God gives us so many things. He's given us so many. He's given us, probably the vast majority in this room, we've come to His salvation in Christ. Eternal life. And we complain. A little bit of time goes on, we grumble. That's why we see throughout the Scriptures of the New Testament, you know, Paul talked to the churches saying, do not complain. Do not grumble. Here, the people, what did they say? They tested God. They put God to the test by this question, there as you saw there, the end of verse 7. Is the Lord among us? Or not. Think about that. God has given them so many things. And now because they're thirsty again, they've reached in their journey another place without water. What do they say? Is God with us or not? Where is He? And they are poking here in where they should not be poking. And this is really a terrible circumstance that they've gotten themselves into. Once again, the Lord is tremendously gracious to not plague them all with the diseases of Egypt. Instead, he gives them water again. He's still trying to teach them and bring them around each time the right way. But look at this, you know. But have we ever gone through situations in our life where it's bad, you know? For us personally, whatever it is, it's bad. And maybe it goes on for a little while. And maybe this is the same thing going through our heads, what the Israelites said. Is God here or not? Where is he? Where is God? The thing is, God has taught us throughout the whole biblical record to have faith in him and to not ask, is he here or not? Is he going to help me or not? The Israelites were very foolish to raise such a question as that, because God has proven himself to be the one who heals, the one who helps, the one who delivers and saves, the one who is there, the one who has said over and over, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. He said that to Moses, he said it to Joshua, he said it to plenty others. In the book of Hebrews, he says it to everyone in Christ Jesus. I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. But, you know, we human beings, we stub our toe, or we go without a meal. God's forsaken me. That's a problem. God gives them water out of a rock. He gives them water out of a rock in this situation. That's just tremendous. And you look at what the New Testament says about this, and we see the application once again for us. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1, moreover, brethren, Paul says, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. And there, we see a glimpse here of the future of our studies in Exodus, where God is not going to continue to extend this kind of graciousness to them over and over and over again. There's going to come a time in which they should have learned their lesson, and they refuse it. Notice how fantastic this is, what Paul is saying here. All had the same baptism. All had the same spiritual food. All drank the same spiritual drink. What he means by that is the same as us, right? The food that they drank, or ate, excuse me, the food that they ate is the food we eat, right? What they drank in the wilderness was what we drank. We're all the same. And he even goes so far to show that the spiritual rock that they drank from, that rock was Christ. He says, and that rock followed them. Right? And you see here, this is interesting because he says spiritual food, spiritual drink, spiritual rock. When we look back at Exodus, what is it? Physical food, physical drink, physical rock. But no, God says that's not the point. It was spiritual. God was giving them life. Same God, same Christ was giving them life. He followed them that spiritual rock that is Christ, followed them throughout the wilderness to give them life. And so we should be very personally involved here in not just the whole reading of the book of Exodus, but what we have just read here with the people and God sustaining them with the food, with the drink, in realizing that, as Paul says here, what they received was life from God. And this is the same thing that we receive from God, from Christ. But with them, God was not well pleased. So the question remains today, with us, will God be well pleased? Do we really? We can get caught up in these ideas. Oh, you know, I faithfully attend services. Do we really have faith in God to give us life? Or do we live time after time in this life in grumbling and complaining like the Israelites? Do we trust Him with our lives? Do we trust Him to save our lives and to provide us with the sustenance, the spiritual sustenance of life? I appreciate your attention this evening. I'd like to invite anyone who's yet to come unto Christ for salvation to please humble yourself tonight and for always. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Trust in Him. He's worthy of your trust. Have faith in Him. Put your life in His hand and He will save you. He will deliver you out of the bondage of sin if you confess His name, if you repent of your sins, if you're baptized for the remission of your sins. If that describes your need tonight, then won't you please come forward and let us know while together we stand and sing. Someday.